No, he. I don't know how he does that. But let's not worry about it.
One, yeah. Two, three.
Oh, no. It's working now. Okay.
Okay.
Well, try to sing. Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have good news for you. In fact, I have great news for you. Over the year or so forth, since I've been doing these great news things, I've always given you little things, little gems and so forth, that if you use them, they absolutely work. But tonight, we're going to talk about the good news is that this mind of ours is what's creating our reality. It's absolutely our thinking that is always creating everything in our life. And when we learn how to change that thinking, we learn how to change our reality. So I'm going to tell you a cute story on myself, what happened to me this week, and how I was able to catch my mind, how I was able to become a witness to my own thinking, and watch the movements of my mind, and see what they were about ready to do to me. And I was able to catch them and correct them, and change a belief system at the same time. I received in the mail a telephone bill for $85 and some odd cents. I looked at it and I thought, well, that's very high, $85, as I usually don't have such a high telephone bill. And I went, my mind started, isn't this outrageous? How can they do this to me? Blah, 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 blah. $85, no one spends that much money. Blah, 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 blah. Good evening. So I read down the list of things because I have some kind of a plan. Whatever plan that is, I don't know, but it's usually minutes. It just says 0000000. Then at the very bottom it said, operator assisted call. I thought, operator assisted call? I don't have any operator assisted call. What does this mean? Well, it was a call to Falls Church, Virginia, and it was for 42 minutes. But it cost $43.95 because it was an operator-assisted call. Now I'm getting indignant. Now I'm starting to get furious. How dare they charge us money? How dare they do this? Well, I'm calling the telephone company. But let me give you a little bit of back story on this with the telephone and with bills and stuff. Utility bills especially. I have no trouble paying the lights and gas and so forth. But when I was growing up, we turned off lights. We would never have a light on. My father would say, we're not supporting the utility companies. We're not allowed to do this, that, or the other thing. But with the phone, many times in my house, the phone was not working when I was a child because the bill was not paid. And they turned the phone off. So I've always been leery about telephone bills. So that came through my mind, and I was able to see that. And I was able to say, well, I'm not that child anymore. So I calmed myself down, and I thought, well, I'll call and find out. And when I called the lady, I said, I can't figure this out. I don't know why this happened. She said, well, I can't answer the why question. And I went on through something else, and I said, but why? She said, I told you I can't answer the why question. Now, I started to get a little bit irritated, but I said, she's absolutely right. She cannot answer the why question. There's no way she can answer this question. So, when I hung up from her, I was very proud of myself because I did not lose my temper. I did not get angry. I did not get anything. And she said, would you like me to have this go over to some other place to look at? And I said, sure. She said, well, it'll take 3 to 5 business days for this to be done. Meantime, I sat down and I wrote out the check for 85 something or other and sent it on in. And then while I was going through my day, I thought, operator assistant call. I never use an operator assistant call. I just can't figure this out. Dong. It dawned on me. One day my phone was not working. I wasn't able to press the 6. The number 6 would not make a dial tone. So I could call the operator. I called the operator, and I said, I'm having trouble with my phone. Can you dial this number for me? She said, sure.
Yes.
So she dialed it. I thought that that was
a service.
You know, because I know the other one says, for an additional charge, we'll place the number. She just said, sure. And I explained to her my phone wasn't working. And yes, years ago, it would have been a service. So I looked at the whole thing. I said, thank goodness, I have the money to pay for this. I'm not getting angry. I understand why now that telephone bills upset me. And I was able to clear that all out. And the most amazing thing was, I didn't think about it. I didn't get angry and keep telling the story. I didn't say, oh, how could they do that? Oh, you make too much money. You know, the telephone company's ripping me off, and this is going on. These utility companies, blah, blah, blah. I did nothing. And I was walking through the house in the evening, and I'm going, isn't that strange? I haven't thought about that. There must be something wrong. Why haven't I thought about it? Because I was used to have you become indignant and you think that somebody has done something against you. You have to keep replaying it and replaying it and replaying it and replaying it. And as soon as I noticed that, loved myself for doing it, knew that I had money, knew that I was prosperous, I didn't have to think about that anymore. And $42 is not going to make or break me. So I said, give them their $42. It'll come back to me. Oh, I'll never have that problem again. But that is the way you watch your mind and what it's doing to you. And you can see it. You just slow it down to where you can see, oh, now it's doing this to me. Now it's doing that to me. And when you realize that you're not your mind, that everything that happens to you happens because of your thinking. And as soon as you can change your thinking, the whole situation changes. And then you go back to peace and so forth. So this was a wonderful opportunity for me to see my mind and also to release a belief system about telephone companies. And I could, extend clear back, I could see Lily Tomlin and the telephone lady in my mind, like, you know, all this stuff that your mind will throw up to you, and it just throws it up. It's an apple knows me as a people. You have to see that and say, that's not what I want. That is not what I want. I want to go back to peace of mind. And I was able to do that. I was also able to forgive myself for making the assisted call. And I didn't. I was ready to beat myself up for that and say, how dumb can you be, Dallas? A fool and his money are soon parted. This is going on, that's going on. I said, shut up. I didn't know. And I did it. And it's over. And it's over. Without beating myself up. And that's what you have to see. How many times during the day are you beating yourself up for no reason whatsoever, from something from the past or something that really doesn't matter? In the long run, it will not matter. But yet our minds grab a hold of that and want to punish us. And then we just keep thinking that and thinking that. That is why we are our own jailers. We're the ones who put ourselves into every situation. We're the ones that put ourselves into jail. No one else does that. No one else does that. We do that to ourselves. Remember Eleanor Roosevelt? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And it doesn't matter what people say to you or say about you. You do not have to accept that. You have to always think of yourself as whole, complete, and perfect. You have to think of yourself as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that you matter. And the other thing, I was delighted with myself that I was able to be nice with that woman, and I heard her say, I can't answer the why question. And instead it came, why can't you? I realized she can't. She can't answer the why question. And that's one question, you know. You never ask your mind why. You ask your mind, how can I get out of this situation? Not why did this situation occur? Because if you ask why, your mind will take you down a road that will go on forever. It will spit out everything that you've ever done, from peeing in the alley to everything else. It will just keep going. That's why this happened to you, you little idiot, you little smart ass, you little this. And it just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask the question why. Ask, how can I change this? How can I come back to loving myself? How can I love the telephone company? Let them have their $85. Let them have that $42. It does not matter. What matters is your peace of mind. It's always going to come back to you. It's always going to come back to the idea that you have to learn to love yourself. You have to totally love yourself so that you know that you matter, that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. That's what this whole journey is about. This whole thing, when you get done with the lessons in The Secret, that's what it's going to boil down to. Because you won't be able to use The Secret, and you won't be able to manifest something unless you know you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You can read books. You can come to these classes. You can do anything that you want. But till you learn that is the foundation from whence your thinking is coming, it's going to be very difficult to bring into your life what you want. You may be able to bring it in, but you will not be able to keep it. You will not be able to keep it. Because you're going to say, oh, here it is, but I'm not worthy of it. So I cannot have it. And this is proved, come in, this is proved constantly with people who get something new. People who get new cars, who aren't used to new cars, who have tried to advance their consciousness faster than they can. As soon as they get the new car, a scratch will appear on it. An accident will happen. So, because they don't think they're worthy of that. They don't think that they deserve it, even though they were able to manifest it. So when you want, before you manifest what you want, learn those things about yourself. Make that the foundation from everything that you think. Make that who you are, so that your mind constantly tells you that. So that when you get in a situation like I was in with my mind, I could go back to that and say, listen, Dallas, you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. So don't do this. So don't do this. And then your mind starts to obey you, and you start to live your life the way you want to live, instead of allowing your mind to constantly be nagging at you, constantly telling you what is wrong with you. You want your mind to constantly tell you what is right about you. You want your mind to tell you how wonderful you are. Is everyone still doing wonderful, wonderful me? I do it every morning. I do it every morning. During the day I think of that. And I also think of our other ones. Deserving, worthy, totally lovable, and I matter. So with that, let's do the mattering. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay!
Woohoo!
That is so so important to do, because not only the movement, it puts things through your body, it puts good feelings through your body, and your mind will accept that. Your mind will accept that. We are not taught these things, usually not because our parents didn't know how to do it. They just didn't know how to do that. And here again, it's one of those things we think, oh, I'm not going to tell anyone that I have these feelings because I must be the only one. I must be the only one. You know, it's like the person who says, I must be the only person that's ever thought this thought. Well, now that is absolutely ridiculous. With all the people that have ever been on the internet, you cannot stop. There's no way in hell that you, that somebody else didn't think that. Or, I must be the only person who's ever done this. Absolutely impossible. Somebody else has done it also. If they didn't, you wouldn't know about it because we live, move, and have our being in one mind. But our mind, this little finite mind, always wants to do what? What does the finite mind always want to do?
Put you in a box.
Yes, it always wants to put you in a box. But it'll put you in a box, what does that do?
Shut you down.
It always wants to separate you. Your mind always wants to separate you. How does it always want to separate you? You're the only one that ever had that thought. You're the only one that's ever done that action. No one else is doing that. So therefore, if you're the only one that's doing it, there must be something wrong with you. And if there's something wrong with you, you better start to be shameful and guilty about this. So you better withdraw from people. And please, whatever you do, don't mention. Don't mention what you're doing. Keep it a secret. And that's the lie that is perpetuated throughout our society. And that's why we have so much dysfunction and so forth. Now things are changing. People are talking about things that they never talked about before. That they never... And then you go, oh my God, you mean... Other people are out there like me. Other people are having these same thoughts and so forth. And the internet is a great way to realize that. You punch in anything in the internet and think, I'm the only person who does this. Okay? A club forms immediately. They've all probably already had the club formed someplace. So don't let your mind separate you from people. And don't let it separate you from the mind of God. But your little finite mind always wants to keep you thinking that you're the only one. Always will do that to you. And there's where the difficulty always comes in. Because then it makes you start to feel that there's something wrong with you. And there is nothing wrong with any of us. There is truly nothing wrong with any of us. Okay? Remember, the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There can be dirt on the dish from what they really... The dish is never dirty. And in this teaching, and in most teachings, metaphysical teachings, and many of the brand name religions, they are able to separate the sin from the sinner. And that's what we do. You are not what you do. You are not your action. You are much more than any of those things. And these things that we consider bad would not happen if people didn't feel isolated, if their mind didn't make them withdraw from other people. Thinking, I'm the only one. I am the only one. And we're not. We're completely connected to each other. And we're completely connected to the mind of God, where we live, move, and have our being. And that is what keeps us all in unity with each other. That's why I can think a thought. If I think it, you can think it. And anything I can do, you can do. It's so easy, so simple. So keep that in your mind and do your affirmations and do these different little things. Last week I said, people weren't here, some of the people, the idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Does anyone know what they are? You wouldn't, you know, I told you last week.
What was the question?
What are they? I matter. I'm lovable. I'm deserving.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally matter.
You're jealous. They're,
See how quickly the mind could go?
Wait, he's going to remember you, elephant brain.
They're what so?
No,
they're mental
equivalent. That's right.
They're mental equivalent. They're mental equivalent. You see, most people think a mental equivalent is a vision of a car or something. I have to get the vision of this car. I have to get the vision of prosperity and lots of money, and that's the mental equivalent. No, these are mental equivalents also. If you had that as a mental equivalent inside of you, mm-hmm. can you see that it would always be on the outside of life? They're mental equivalents. So, yes.
So what you said just at the beginning, that if you don't have those four things, you'll get things in your life.
Yes.
And I remember the kid that used to come when we were over in the other place. And one time he asked you, he said, you know, I just get going and I start making money and the business is good and then it's gone. And, you know, you talked about your consciousness not being prepared. You know, and then we've done other classes where the discussion is that. And so things start happening, and it's not because, you know, you hear that once your consciousness is stretched, it can't go back. But if we don't have those four things, our consciousness is not stretched, no matter
right.
what else we have. So we do, it's not ours by divine right of consciousness, so it's gone again.
Right. Okay. It's always ours by divine right of consciousness, because you always get what you put in. But here's the thing that happens. It's like gardening. I can throw a bunch of seeds out on the ground. Some will grow, some will not. But if I till and cultivate and get ready for the seeds, now I throw the seeds in, they're going to grow. That's the stretching of your consciousness. You have to keep cultivating your mind. You have to keep doing that. Think of it as the garden in your mind. All we're ever doing is weeding it out. Mm-hmm. We're weeding it out. So that things that we want will grow in there. And the rest is just choked. Does that help you?
Yeah, that totally just makes it that little
yes.
fine tuning.
Yeah. So what you're saying is basically if you don't practice and you don't believe that you matter or you're lovable and you don't say the words and you don't try to correct your thinking as you go along, you're never going to be able to manifest what you want really and sustain it.
You won't be able to sustain it.
Okay, that's...
And that's why people...
But I think that's the most difficult part about this is because when you... me or anybody that, you know, is struggling to figure it out or to get it, the whole thing, bottom line, is the worthiness.
Yes.
And the matter, and because of the mistakes we've made and along the way that... get to this point, well, you still have that chatter in your head, even when you're trying to fix it or trying to change the words and be good to yourself, it's easy to go back to that behavior, and that's why it seems overwhelming to people.
Yes, it seems overwhelming, so make it a game, and remember what Mary Baker Eddy said, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must make sure that you win. And the judge that we're talking about is your judging mind.
Yes.
It's always judging you. It's always telling you that you're wrong. You must correct that. But only you can correct that.
Mm-hmm.
You say you can read all the books and all the things, but this is what... Are you willing to do the work to make this come up? If you want a beautiful garden, are you willing to till the soil? Are you willing to pull the weeds? Are you willing to water it so that the flowers or the vegetables, whatever you put in there, are going to grow? And you're going to give it, you know, fertilizer and all that. Most people think, oh, well, I'll just throw that in there and then it'll grow. Well, it does grow. But it will, you will not be able to sustain what you have. It just will go away again. Because the container cannot contain it. And you're the container. So you're always just making a bigger container for yourself. You see. It's always trying to get a bigger, better concept of who you are. Bigger, better concept of who you are. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And most people have very little concepts. They have little concepts of themselves. And it's all right to have a big concept of yourself. You know, it's perfectly all right to love yourself. Perfectly all right to do that. But people don't do it, do they? They think, oh no, I can't do that. Why do we think we can't love ourselves? It has to be those four items.
And we're told that's arrogant.
Right. But it always boils down to those four items.
If I caught Jim kissing himself in the office, I'd be, oh, right on, I know what you're doing.
I often, when I'm doing something, I'm walking around and say, oh, Dallas, darling love. And always I say, Dallas, darling love, what do you want? I talk to myself in wonderful, endearing terms. And when that other side of me comes up, I say, no. We don't do that anymore. We don't beat ourselves up. I don't get angry this way. I don't do it. It's changing us. And that is the ability that we have. And that's one of the biggest secrets in the world, that you can actually start to love yourself. But mainstream brand name religions and race mind tells you, no, you better love God. And you focus all your love on loving God and things will be different. I know tons of people who are the nastiest or rotten human beings you've ever wanted to see, but they'll tell you that they love God.
Right.
But they'll tell you that they love God. Absolute impossibility. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love God. Loving yourself is the highest form of worship you can give God. The highest form of worship. Because all that we are is God, but we are not all that God is. And it's only God working in as and through us that we manifest things. That's how God lives in this world. Through us, God lives in this world. Through us. So you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. Now, ask yourself quietly, how would I feel and how wonderful it would be if I loved myself? Take a moment. Ask yourself. Can you see the difference? Can you just imagine the difference? Well, then do it. Give yourself permission to love yourself. Give yourself permission to love yourself. Is that a reasonable request?
Absolutely.
All right. If it's a reasonable request, it can be done. It's not an outrageous request. It's a reasonable request. And a reasonable request your mind can accept. It's an outrageous one that your mind will kill you on. But a reasonable, your mind will accept. So say to yourself, it's absolutely reasonable for me to love myself. I'm harming no one by doing that. You don't have to rush into the room and say, oh, guess what, I love myself. No, don't do that type of thing. People look at you like you're strange.
Mm-hmm.
But do it silently. and know that you love yourself, and just keep doing that.
Just had a light bulb go on.
I know, I saw it.
I have a very abusive ex-husband who's constantly haranguing me about whatever it is, and I go round and round with myself about how do I deal with it, how do I protect myself. All I got to do is love myself.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all I got to do,
yeah.
Because if I do that, then I don't have to even listen to it.
Yeah.
Just hit me.
Yeah.
Or at least I'll know. Yeah. I'll just
cool.
go out. It won't bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is his opinion. And,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and whatever he wants, that's his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Once you love yourself, that is the shield that you're putting on. Love is your shield.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have your shield up, go ahead, throw it all at me. You can't knock me off. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we're not told those things, and we're told we have to put up with abusive people and this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it. And don't be abusive to yourself. Love yourself. Every little piece and bit of yourself. Just love it. That makes all the difference in the world. All the difference.
So you're saying that there's, if someone's nasty or whatever, there's no possible way that they can act that way and love themselves at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
You show me a nasty person, I will show you somebody that doesn't like themselves.
Well, what about a narcissistic person?
What? Because they... But most narcissistic people don't love themselves. Mm-hmm. That's why they're narcissistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about that.
Yeah.
There's no reasoning to the point.
Right. There's no reasoning there. But they do that because they absolutely loathe themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No self-esteem.
They're trying to fill it with something.
They fill it with that.
Mm-hmm.
They fill it with that.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this is a very simple teaching, and it always boils down to one little thing. Everything always boils down to one thing. It boils down to God, and it boils down to love. God equals love. Love equals God. Love of self. Love of self, because you're part of God. So love of self is your answer to everything. If you loved yourself, you wouldn't have gotten into the abusive marriage to begin with. Can you see that now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You see? It'll always boil down to that. You know,
but
you're going to go to a therapist for 175,000 years, and it's going to boil down to you don't like yourself enough. You don't love yourself enough to get yourself out of the situation that you're in.
You
believe you deserve it.
Yes.
Except then you don't go back and forgive you just forgive yourself. You don't go back and rehash it in your head.
Absolutely not. Immediately you sit down, love, bless, and release it. And you say, that's gone. That's gone. And once you're able to do that, all that trash from the past means nothing. And you don't have to constantly go through that to get to where you want. It's just gone. It's gone. And we've all have different paths. We all have different things. We all do. The thing to remember is this. Belief creates experience. Experience does not create belief. Although it looks like that, and the world teaches that. You are the way you are because of something. No. You are the way you are because of your thinking. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Doesn't matter what happened to you. And we're not taking away that, by the way. The things happen to you. And maybe bad things happen to you. Not taking that away. What we're taking away is the emotional punch that it has on you. So that it is not controlling your life. Because if you don't take the emotional punch away, it's always going to control your life. That was always emotional with your ex-husband, wasn't it? Yes. And now you see the difference and you can take the emotional punch away. Now, he can say anything he wants to you. Yeah. So what? So what? Who cares? Can you see that?
Absolutely.
And as soon as you stop taking it, he'll stop doing it.
Well, there's no, yes.
Yeah, there's no hidden hook for him.
There's no back and forth then, yes.
You take the drama out of it.
You take the drama. Always take the drama.
We love drama sometimes. That's,
we adore just, it.
The adrenaline sometimes is like...
But I would suggest, you know, we always think, oh, we have to have all this adrenaline, we have to have all this drama and all this. Here again, try peace of mind for change. You see? Instead of self-hating all the time, try self-loving. See, you've tried these other things and they're nasty and they haven't done much for you. But now try this other way of thinking. And see the difference in your life. It's just a choice. It's a choice of thinking. Absolutely. Choice of thinking. Race mind alert. I think I told this, but I'll tell it again. You know, the classical station has moved. Now it's a country western, which I listen to in the car, but I finally found the station in the car. Now, country western music I happen to like, but it's all complete soap opera. And it's just dreadful if you listen to it all day long, because it's just going to perpetuate race mind. So on this country western station comes this advertisement. A young kid and his family are out, and they're out at, I think, a taco stand or something. The man looks down, the kid's gone. And he's going, "Johnny, Johnny, where are you?" "Oh my God, there you are, Johnny." And he finds Johnny. Now comes the thing. Now, just imagine what it would be like to lose your child. Just imagine if somebody took your child. Just imagine. Okay, now it says, "This is brought to you by the United States government and the Amber Alert." And the Amber Alert. That's total race mind. You have to imagine that they're always in safe company.
Why would you want to imagine
it being... Absolutely. I almost crashed the car when I heard that.
Because you talk about imagination being the biggest tool in our toolbox.
Absolutely.
So if we imagine...
Right. Imagination is...
Well, I said it.
Yes, this visualization is the whole thing. And here, they're doing that. And they're what they do, and what Race Mind always talks about people. They may tell you that they're spouting love, but they're always spouting fear. There is no love out there in race mind. It's always fear. And if there is love, you're loving out of fear. I love, you know, out of fear. No, you have to love for love's sake, not because you're afraid. But race mind only teaches fear. Does not teach love. Does not. So you have to withdraw from that. But anyway, that's just little things to see. And of course, now I won't turn that country western station ever back on again. But these things go into people's minds, and people think that that's exactly the way it is. But that's the way it is. I talked to my niece today. I said, "Courtney, how is everything?" "Well, you know, when it rains, it pours, and it's always this way." And what is this? "It rains, it pours, it's always this way. That's the way it always happens." Oh, just a... Well, not only does she sound exactly like her mother voice-wise, it's the exact same words and the exact same attitude that her mother has. They could have, they're interchangeable. Do they know that?
No.
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 Do they know that? No. The other one was, if it isn't one thing, it's the other. Total race mind. Total race mind. And I know exactly, does anyone know exactly what is wrong? Should I use the word wrong? Why are they doing that? Not that it's wrong, Why are both the mother and the daughter doing that?
Because they're comfortable with it.
It's generational. They don't love, deserve,
or matter.
Care. Yeah. Worthy.
They have no idea. They have no idea. There is no self-love there whatsoever. My sister-in-law always starts out everything with, well, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. And don't you want to say, well, then if you're not, shut up. We don't want to hear it. I only want to hear from the sharp knives.
I wonder what she'd say.
You know, because they have to apologize for everything.
Oh.
Before they start anything, they apologize. I know I shouldn't say this. I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. Shows no self-love whatsoever. No self-love whatsoever. And they're in church 3 times a week. In church 3 times a week. Now, not that I have anything against the churches, but are they serving their people? Is this serving their people? If you want to go to church, if you want to go anywhere, make sure that you're going to come out there feeling good about yourself. And they're going to tell you something nice about yourself, and they're going to tell you that you're a wonderful person and that you're lovable and all that. Not that stuff. Horrible. Yes, you had a question.
Well, no, we had at our office meeting on Tuesday, we had a big event. Apparently CBS on 60 Minutes did a big thing about why you shouldn't pay commissions to real estate agents and blah, 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 and how this other company, they tell you all the negatives. They don't tell you one thing what we do for you. But I didn't watch it, but apparently, so it was a big issue in the office. On the Tuesday meeting, and I turn to my boss and I say, "So, well, why can't we get anything to say the exact what we really do? Why does it have to be a negative? Why can't we? No one wants to hear us." And I'm like, "Okay." Like all of a sudden, I wanted to just go. Like, do I really want to work here? Because this energy is gonna kill me. And I look at Jim and I go, "Total race mind." I mean, to the point where it just was like, "Ugh." Like, it was suffocating. And, like, you need to respond to this. And I'm thinking, we need to change the energy in our own office. What is, I mean, we can sit here and talk about how bad CBS is, but what is that doing for us? Nothing. And it was just so, it was such a bummer. It was like, I was, like, shielding myself from the whole, you know. And I
said, we're going to have a repeat this next Tuesday.
Huh?
We're going to have a repeat this next Tuesday.
What? See, that is just, you know...
That's ridiculous.
Why would you want to watch something that stirs you to say that you're not worthy?
To create the drama.
Yes, to create the drama.
And there's no out to the alternative. Right. There's no... They don't give us any out, like, well, we can combat this or even try to think differently. There is none of that.
Solution.
Yeah.
There's no solution.
First of all, you have to get rid of that word combat.
Well, I didn't buy into the whole thing anyway. Okay. I'm not going to be there now.
But here is the thing. And this is total race mind, and it's total whoever's running your office. There always has to be an adversary. There always has to be an adversary. And right now, the adversary is that show that they just put on. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as competition in the mind of God. There is only creativity. Don't pay it one bit of thing. If you have to go, if you have to watch it, you say, this makes my business even better. This makes my business even better. People want to come to me. They saw that program and they want a real estate person. They don't want this. They want me. And it'll come back to you. Mm-hmm. Don't give it any energy whatsoever. Don't think that it's ever going to wreck your business or anything. It won't wreck your business. Okay? Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. Okay. There is only one mind, the mind of God, and I know that I live, move, and have my being in that mind. And I know that that mind is all-knowing, and it knows me. and it knows me as the wonderful human being that I am. It also knows me as a conduit, and it works in, as, and through me. It brings me prosperity, abundance, and it brings me money. And I am delighted with that. I am delighted to be one with the only power there is in the universe, a power for good. And I use it in my life, and I prosper, and I thrive. And I let that be so, and so it is.
So it is.
Tonight's topic yes, is stars. And why do we use them? This will help you with your real estate thing. William Shakespeare wrote a line, and it was, "The fault is not on our stars, dear Brutus, but in ourselves that we are underlings." But in ourselves that we are underlings. So it comes right back again to worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It's always going to be on the inside of life. Stars have nothing to do with it. Television programs about the real estate business has nothing to do with anything. That's total race mind. Now, when you see that program, you immediately say, those people are not my people. They do not live in my universe. I would never work with those people. I would never be attracted to those people. I'm only attracted to people that are willing to have a wonderful real estate person like I am, because they realize my value. They realize my worth, and they see all the work that I do, and they know that I am for them. And I offer a service here that nobody else can offer. And that's how you do it. And you just forget all that. But if you think that that's going to harm you in any way, then you're putting your power outside of your own self. And you can never do that. You can never do that. I understand right now, and I hear this from everyone across the country. In fact, I even heard it from somebody in Europe. Italy, in fact. The housing market is starting to soften, or whatever they call it. So, don't believe that for one instant. Don't believe that for one instant. Money is always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. I'm always selling houses. I always have buyers and sellers. And I'm always matching my buyers and my sellers. You see? The world always wants to convince you. Always wants to convince you of something. Don't allow it to do that to you. Don't allow it to do that to you. Now, why do you jump on that bandwagon when you see that? Because everyone else has jumped on it. And your mind wants you to go with all those people. You see? Your mind wants you to go over there. Don't go over there. Say, I know who I am. I know my power. And my power is within me. There's nothing on the outside of life that can influence me one iota. And it's true. The outside of life has no causation. There's no causation on the outside of life. Causation only occurs inside of you. On the inside. And it occurs with your thinking. And that's why we keep our thinking right. We keep our thinking clear. And we keep knowing and knowing and knowing. We know that this class is growing. We know that this center is growing. We know that the right and perfect people are attracted here. We know that this is filled with like-minded people. We know that this room is filled with successful people. And we're going to keep drawing more and more and more success to us. That's the way it's done. It's not done by all those things that you see on that television set. And I don't care who is giving it and how many degrees they have. They're documenting something. You know, you can turn that television set on. And I love this one. I do this at home. The economy. Economy very, very bad. Two, these are experts. One's from Cambridge, one's from here, one's from there. Not very good. Turn to the next channel. Oh no, the economy is very good. These people are from this sector, and they have all these credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there were tons of people who didn't see that, and tons of people don't believe that thing about the real estate business. And that's the one. Just absolutely forget it. Your job is to sell homes and to make money, not to get irritated with something that's on television. Mm-hmm. Now you've just wasted your time, your money, and your energy on something that you can do nothing about. Instead of keeping your focus on your job, which is to sell homes and make money. You see the difference? That's what you're there for.
Because you're going to serve your client.
Yes. I was able to give up the $42 instantly. Why would I want to spend 3 days on $42? Mm-hmm. Now that $42 just became $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You can't do that to yourself.
Little trick
that the world loves to play on you. Let's get them interested in this. Now we're going to distract it from their goals, from what they really want, because we'll get them so incensed and indignant that they're going to start marching in the streets, and boy, out the window goes your goals.
Well, that's what our company wants us to do, and I'm like, no.
Yes.
Right.
But
I mean, that's exactly what they want us to do, and I'm like,
I'm
not doing that.
You don't have to do that. And here's what I want to tell you. First of all, you are an independent contractor, so it's always going to be Jules Incorporated. You are your own business.
Mm-hmm.
You just have a shingle there. That's all you've hung as a shingle in that place.
Right.
You don't have to like their policies. You don't have to go down the road with them. Your job is to sell and to buy and to do and to make money. Let them argue and fight and the gnashing of teeth and all that, which real estate people love to do. I was in the real estate business. They love to have Tuesday morning meetings that go absolutely nowhere, that are completely useless, but they do them because it's a tradition. It's a tradition. And they always go, and at those Tuesday meetings, everyone just hands around, well, I didn't get a sale today, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Complete negativity, you see. I got out of all of that and answering the telephones and everything because I took and got my broker's license, and if I did that, I didn't have to do any of the other stuff, and I didn't have to show up for the meetings, and I deliberately did that. I deliberately did that. I managed 108 properties in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, when I say 108 properties, they were in four different buildings. They were apartment buildings, and I did all the things for rented all these units. The man I worked for there was Marshall Sharp. And when we met, I was trying to get him to list his condos with me. He didn't. But it's a wonderful story. He didn't. But I had seen an apartment that I wanted. And the man that I wanted this apartment said, oh, we can't rent to anybody right now because we're in the process of selling this. I said, well, here's my card. Would you give it to the new owner and tell him I'm interested in this apartment? It happened to be Marshall Sharp. The man, he calls me. He says, Dallas, I understand you're looking for an apartment. I said, how do you know that? He said, I bought the building that you want the apartment. And if you want the apartment, it's yours. And not only that, Dallas, would you like to manage all those places for me? We were so impressed with you when you came alone. When everyone else brought their brokers and a team, you were the only one who came alone to present yourself for the condominiums that we were selling, but we went with these other people, not because we didn't like you, Dallas, because they had financing. And in real estate, it's always the financing that sells the property. Doesn't matter what people say. You don't have financing, you cannot sell property. Always have a good broker that knows the financing, and you'll be able to sell property. That's the number one thing. They don't tell you that either. It's always going to boil down to financing. So anyway, that became very lucrative for me. Then I sold that building for Marshall and made a great deal of money. And the new people said to me, Dallas, would you like to manage it? Not only will we give you free rent, we'll give you maid service, all utilities, and something else. I forget now. It just ballooned into something. what's the point of this story? The point of the story is you're always moving from your good to your greater good. I did not get angry and upset because I did not get the listing of the condominiums. I gave my car to somebody else who went to Marshall, who I made more money than I would have when I did the thing. So you have to look at this thing. You never get upset. Never get angry. Know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good, that this thing that we live, move, and have our being in knows how to do that for you and knows how to take you where you want to go. And that's why we call it strange and mysterious. We did not know. Did I know when I gave that card that it was going to go to Marshall and that he was going to pick up the phone and call me? You see? And that developed into an 8-year relationship of making money. 8-year relationship of making money. But you have to know those things. It's not in your stars. It's nowhere outside of you. It's inside of you. Don't fall for what the world is telling you. Don't fall for what that television set is doing. Don't fall for the real estate organization that you belong to. Stay within your own self. Didn't we talk about staying at home last week? Stay in your own mind. Know who you are. And the world will unfold in front of your feet. Mm-hmm. But till you know that, it will not unfold in front of your feet. Do not get indignant about anything on the outside of life. You have no control over that. What you have control over is your thinking. So you look at that and you say, isn't that wonderful? Those people are making money. Mm-hmm. Now, if you watch that program, you will understand that they already closed the one in Texas, which was absolutely, I thought, ridiculous, because the man, the startup money was $33 million. Mm-hmm. $33 million is outrageous to start up an internet business in real estate, and without any research whatsoever, he should have known right away that the real estate association would knock him down, and the real estate association will come to the forefront and knock everything down. So there's no worry there. So that's all, see, that's a foolish thing that they're putting out there to stir up people. And it's not. Now, if the new one succeeds, it won't hurt you at all. Why won't it hurt you at all?
I'm doing my own business.
Well, there's more than enough.
There's always
a surplus. Everyone
no
can
competition.
Have exactly what you want.
Right. No competition.
We live in an abundant universe. Let them have that. Say, oh, thank God, I'm glad to make it, Matt.
Absolutely.
Because I don't have time to for all those people, but I have time for all my people, and I make tons and tons and tons of money with my people, and I do it my way, and I do it with love, and I do it with respect for them and for myself.
Yes.
Grace mind is it seems to be always in a world of limitation.
Absolutely. It's always.
It's always, we're at the very last legs.
Yeah. Every association, the American Medical Association, you step on their turf and they will knock you down because they believe that there's not enough.
Right.
You see, you have to know that there's always enough, and there's enough for everybody. There's enough for everybody. They say, oh, but you're taking my piece of the pie. You're not taking anybody's piece of the pie. Your piece of the pie is your piece of the pie. My piece of the pie is my piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. So you never worry about that. And what you say to yourself, isn't that wonderful that they're starting that new business up? And I hope they make tons of money. Because when they make tons of money, I make tons of money. Remember, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. But if you start going against them, your mind is saying, oh, she's stingy, she believes in competition, she's this, this, and this. So you have to go right back again to your four things. And it's always going to boil down to I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm totally lovable, and that I matter. Everything in your life is going to boil down to what you think of yourself and how much you love yourself. And every time you love yourself, something better comes into your life, and more comes into your life. Rhoda, who most of you know, 83 years old, she said to me, you know, Dallas, I discovered nothing happens when I don't love myself. She said, as soon as I stop loving myself, nothing happens. Try it. It's absolutely true. As soon as you start to love yourself, you get what you want. You get what you want.
Yes.
So you love yourself into abundance, prosperity, including money. Love yourself into a successful real estate business. It's done with your mind. It's done with your thinking. And it is done with self-love. If you do that, you will have more money than you can count. Why don't you people ask me to come to one of your Tuesday meetings and talk?
That would be very cool.
You can change this around.
Yeah.
When I was in the real estate business, people, I would say to
them, that would be good.
You know, it's just as much work. The paperwork is exactly the same to sell a $42,000 home as to sell a $1 million home. So why are you people going for the $42,000 homes? Because you think you're only worthy enough. I worked out in Druid Hills. I got listings in Druid Hills. They were getting them in Midtown and other places. I said, how do you know people there? I said, don't worry. I can get over there. And I did. You have to think big. What do you have to think big about?
Yourself.
You have to think big about yourself.
Love.
Big
you
enough.
Have to think big about yourself. Please, do that, people. Think big about yourself. Love yourself. Forgive yourself. And things will come to you. And give up your childhood. Just give it up. Give up your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yay.
And there's a basket. Please, if you felt fed this evening, donate.